Hazrat Abi Musa radiyallahu anhu narrates a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This hadith has been narrated in Tabarani, and it's the first portion that I have recited. And in this hadith mubarakah, in this blessed hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated with regards to two people, two individuals, two human beings. Now what are they doing? What is that person doing? What are they doing? This is with regards to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the individual the ni'mah of wealth, mal, money as we know it. This is the ni'mah of Allah, wealth, money, mal. When Allah tabarak wa ta'ala allows a person to earn with halal means, in a halal way, in a halal method, pure earnings, and he becomes wealthy through Allah ta'ala's blessings, then this is a ni'mah of Allah, and there's nothing wrong with this. To have wealth, to be rich, there is nothing wrong with this. And a person, if he is wealthy, he should be grateful to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And as stated in the hadith, then when wealth comes to man, a person, then two conditions emanate. When a person earns due to his pure wealth and his treasure chest is full, his bank balance is full, his pockets are full, then one consequence can be that the person then sits on his money, suppresses his money, doesn't spend in the path of Allah. Even though this is a big ni'mah, to have wealth and to spend in Allah's way. Allah Ta'ala has given a beautiful and great method to attain paradise and Allah Ta'ala's qurb. Beautiful method. Many people don't have money, but Allah Ta'ala has given you money. And you just want the money to keep coming and keep coming, and you sit on it, you don't spend it, and you save it in your treasure chest, in your safe, in your bank. And people speak and you say, no, it's halal earnings, it's mine, I can do what I want with it. Okay, fine. But how much of this opportunity you are wasting? You're not taking advantage of this opportunity to spend in the path of Allah. Even if you spend a little bit, it is a very valuable deed. These are all means to prepare for the hereafter, spending in the path of Allah for the sake of Allah. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there's a hadith that if an individual even gives sadaqah to the amount of one date, yeah, small amount, and he spends in the path of Allah, then that spending becomes so valuable. The example is of a date, very small commodity. That spending of that date becomes so valuable that Allah Ta'ala takes that date, what that person spent in Allah's way, into his right hand. Look at this hadith, unique method of explanation. Allah Ta'ala takes that date into his right hand. And then the hadith states that Allah Ta'ala nourishes that date and allows that date to rear. Just like you have a baby calf and you feed it, you give it water and you herd it and you let it grow and become bigger. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given a beautiful example that Allah Ta'ala then takes that date and allows it to grow. That date that we spent in his path, Allah Ta'ala allows it to grow. And then Allah's hand, and Allah Ta'ala nourishing something, then imagine the qadr, the appreciation of what that person spent. So that date becomes so big, just like the mountains, the heights of the mountains, the date becomes that big in terms of the reward and the growth. So much thawab that we cannot imagine, so much reward that we cannot imagine. So a man, if he has money, then he should spend it in Allah's way. There are different ways of spending, different methods of spending for Allah. For example, if with an honest heart, genuine heart, you give somebody a glass of water, that's spending for him. If you feed somebody, give them some food, or if you give somebody a gift, so what are you doing? In reality, you are getting various modes of reward. And spending, remember, spending, we think, oh, we're using and losing our wealth. We're taken out of the bank and the balance is reducing. This is not the case. It's just like a river. When you spend in the path of Allah, there's a river and you take a cup of water out of the river, but the water that will flow from behind will compensate for that. And you won't even realize that bucket of water that you spend. So when you spend in Allah's way, it says you don't even realize the more you spend, I let it grow and increase even more. So to spend in the way of Allah, there's a very important point to consider here, is that when a person spends, then it alleviates and removes problems and difficulties and fulfills the need of a person. Whenever an issue comes, a problem comes, spend in the path of Allah. But remember one thing, There's a very important point here, that spend out of that which you prefer. Not that you're giving somebody some food. Oh, you know what food was left over from yesterday? Oh, we're going to throw it away anyway. Let's give it to the neighbors. Oh, it'll become a gift and we'll give him the food, the stale food from yesterday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this sort of mannerism and thinking, negativity. If you want to give to somebody, give to that person according to his status and his rank. And also according to your status and capability, remember this in your heart, that who are you doing this action for? For Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's sake. You're not giving to a human being. That is just the means to attain Allah's nearness. You're not favoring that person. If you think you're favoring someone by giving him food, or you're giving him something, oh, you see, I gave you that thing last time. One brother, we went to London once, and he invited us to breakfast. And remember this event. This is like a story. So he invited us to breakfast. We were on a journey, our Jamaat went for dhikr propagation, and we were there for a few days. And anyway, so one morning, as you know, it's not my habit to go to invitations or feasts, etc. It's not according to my habit. So I thought, okay, he's inviting with love, and we're on a journey, and it's about dawah and tabligh. So let's accept his request, make him feel happy. So we went to his house. I went with two or three other brothers, and mashallah, he made some breakfast, some snacks. And after that, the story ends there. So whenever I meet him after that, once he came in with Jamaat, As-salamu alaykum wa alaykum as-salam, do you recognize me? I said, no. He said, don't you remember that you came to my house to have breakfast that time? Okay. I thought maybe he's just, that's the memory point here. I said, okay, yeah, fine. Then by chance again, sometime later, and he mentioned that story again. There's a story now is coming to my head. So we were sitting once, and after some months, I think it was 7, 8, 9 months passed. And you know, the person, you forget him, he's not in your memory. We were sitting down for you, the brother. Assalamu alaikum wa sallam, Hazab, have you recognized me? I said, no, I can't recognize you. Hazab, don't you remember? You came to my house that day, I fed you breakfast that time. So, is this spending in the path of Allah? To remind the person what you did for him? Okay, fair enough, you maybe laugh. But here, you are not spending then solely for Allah Ta'ala's sake. So we have to understand, there's a beautiful hadith here, that there's an individual, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that what is that person doing? Allah Ta'ala has given him maal, wealth, money. And then Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continues in the hadith to explain that his wealth fills his treasure chest. There are people who are rich, I've seen, for example, they have land and assets, and they have lots of money, assets, commodities, etc. So what do? MashaAllah. I used to see these people, they used to take the notes out on one day. He said, I'm going to distribute these notes today for the sake of Allah. And not just like that, he used to apply fragrance perfume to the notes. He said, go. And he said, my heart is happy, go and distribute these notes amongst the people. So such people, Allahu Akbar, that mashallah, Allah Ta'ala gave them a chance, an opportunity, and they were given the opportunity to feed those people in need, and the poor people were the means for the success. Allah Ta'ala says, so there's a person who's got money and his treasure chest is full and he's distributing his wealth. Rasulullah is mentioning this in the hadith, and he's got wealth, Allah's given it to him, and he's distributing it. And then examples given here about spending. And when a person gets money, another point, remember this is important, is that when a person attains wealth, he doesn't spend. If he doesn't spend, then he falls into more difficulty. He does sins, he does crime, he says wrong things, he looks towards wrong things. And then that money will become a means of Jahannam for him, hellfire. I remember an event upon this about spending for Allah Ta'ala's sake. There were two friends and they had a lot of love for each other, the two friends. So one friend, his situation was such that whenever he put even his hand, if it would touch fire or go into fire, his hand would not get burnt. If the fire was near his body, he wouldn't get burnt. If he put his hand into the fire, it would not get burnt. So his other friend, he thought, I need to know the secret behind this. What's this, my friend? Is this a magic? A spell? I don't understand. How is it that you put hand into the fire, your hand, and it doesn't burn? He said, look, leave it. It's a secret. I can't tell you. He said, no, you're my friend. You'll have to tell me. He insisted that you have to tell me that how comes your hand doesn't get burnt. This is fire. What's the reason your hand doesn't get burnt? Your body doesn't get affected. He said, okay, you're asking me, so I'll tell you the reason for this. So the friend is now telling his other friend why he doesn't get burnt. He said, I was young. You know, I had money. I've got money. All these houses and properties and assets are all mine. And I was young. And at that time, once I got onto my rooftop, and I was wandering around my rooftop, and I saw the house opposite. There was a house, a poor family's house, and there was a young girl, she was on the roof.
And he said, she was very attractive to me. The shaitan came to my mind and I liked her. I had attraction for her, for my lust, for my passion. So her attraction came into my heart, and somehow I thought I need to have the company of this woman. I offered her, etc. She was poor, but she was respectful and sharif, and she did not respond to my requests. So anyway, he said, time continued. She came into my heart. Time continued. Time passed to such a day that she was poor. She got married and she had 2-3 children, and her husband then passed away. So poverty increased for that family. Poverty increased. So he said, once what happened is that the children were in poverty, hungry. There was a drought in our area and they were struggling, and they were, you could say, on the banks of death. So she, desperate, came out of her home. She said, there are rich people in our city. I'll go and beg that they can give me something so I can feed my children, etc. So he said, that woman, she came to my door, to my home. Suddenly, my passion and my lust awoke and got rekindled. I thought, my desires are fulfilled. Allah sent her to me to fulfill my desire. So I said, why have you come? She said, I'm struggling and you are rich and my children are struggling, and we're in a severe situation. I can maybe withstand this, but my child is about to die. Hunger. We have nothing. Please give me some khairat, some sadaqah, some funds. He said, I can give you a lot. But there's one condition. You may have be here forgotten, but can you fulfill my desire? And she was shocked. She shook. Suddenly she ran out. When she went home, the child was desperate, bad situation, more severe than when she'd left him. She came back to the house of that man. She said that, look, don't be a zalim, don't be an oppressor. Allah's given you wealth. Why do you do dhulm? Why do you oppress my children? 3 children, they are dying. Have mercy. Have mercy on them. So she said, no, you come here. He said, you come in. She said, no, I can't. I can't. He said, please. He said, come. So she was forced to accept. So she said, okay, what can I do? I'm forced to do this. I'll accept his desire, his request. So she was respectful. So soon as she had this thought in her mind to accept his request, suddenly the verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement came into her mind, that Allah ta'ala says in the verse of the Quran, that Allah's fear, if you fear Allah, then Allah ta'ala will give you rizq, wealth from such a place that you could not imagine. So suddenly she said, my eyes open, or I suddenly came into being, and I told him off. I said, Zalim, oppressor, you give me this request, Allah's given me khawf, fear. Now even if my children pass away out of hunger and poverty, I have made a big mistake coming to you. I should have gone to my Malik, my creator. When she said, I should have gone to my Malik, Hakiki, my real, my Malik, she said, then that man, he said, when I heard her saying this, I shook inside my heart, because subhanAllah, she had reached to the heights, to close to Allah. So she went back home. She saw her children, they were about to die, pass away, extreme poverty. So she took out the prayer mat, did wudu, and raised her hands in front of Allah and said, Allah, I have made a mistake that I left your door and I went towards somebody else. You are close to me. You are close to me. This is all yours, O Allah. So if you can assist Allah, that is what is enough for us. So when she said, Allah, accept my mistake and I ask for forgiveness. Please help me. And you've promised in the Quran that the person who fears me, I open the door for that person. So she hadn't even lowered her hands from the dua that somebody knocked on her door. So she said, who is it? Who's come? He said, it's your brother. She said, my brother, I don't have a brother. He said, no, I am your brother. And I've come here to help you. So she, when she opened the door, it was the same man. She said, you've come again? Again you've come, and you've come to my door? He said, no, believe me, you are my sister. And I want to make sure your head is covered and you have assistance. All the money and wealth you need, I will give to you. I am your brother from today. And he started to cry and he said that I request forgiveness from you. That as soon as you left my home, my heart shook and tremble, that one woman who's desperate, she's running to her Rabb, and Allah's given me so much money, and I do this and I treat her in this way. Allah made my life, changed me, and you are my wasila. So whatever you ask for, because you are the means to my changing. So ask me what you want, Allah give. So she was sitting on a prayer mat. She said, you my brother? He said, yes, you are my sister, I'm your brother. She raised her hands and said, Allah. She did dua that this brother of mine in this world and the hereafter, protect him and save him from all of the fire. So he said that when she did that dua, Allah Ta'ala accepted a dua, and from that day my body and hand never gets, my hands never get burnt in the fire. And he said, this is the secret behind what you asked, and this is how I spent my money, and Allah saved me from hellfire, extracted me from hellfire. So this is the point, brothers, that when a person spends in Allah's path, he shouldn't think, oh, I'll be rich, then I will spend. No, spend according to your capacity, your capability, capability, even 10 pence, 15 pence, doesn't matter if you don't think it's a lot, but put it into a box every day, put sadaqah, for example. You cannot imagine that those pence, pennies that you put in the box, they will rise and increase and grow to such an extent, you'll say, I'm struggling to spend the money. The money will grow. You'll save so much. You'll say, where shall I spend this money? Every day put in 10 pence. And if a person earns £10 in a day, in £10, take out £1 for sadaqah and keep the other £9. £1 is nothing. So you keep £9 and the last pound from the 10, give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, if you forget to put it into box every day, so when you get paid the wages end of the month or you're doing the accounts, then put the money into the box. That's it. And when the time comes, take the money out, fistful of dollars, fistful of money, and say, hey, this is yours. Go to Pakistan, give to the poor, Saudi Arabia, or here people who are poor in this country, our country. Give to people. Keep your hands open and spread. Don't wait to get rich. You are very rich if you give just even enough this money that I've given the example. So anyway, spending in Allah's way, spending for the sake of Allah. And this is a great action and a great amal that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented to his noble companions radiyallahu anhum. So in this hadith, the explanation here, that Rasulullah said there are two people, and one is doing a very big action that he reaches to the heights because he's spending his wealth for the sake of Allah and giving to the needy. He's distributing his funds, his assets, his property. Look, a great amal, a great deed that Rasulullah has mentioned, spending Allah's way. But then Rasulullah said two people, isn't it? One is the one who spends for the sake of Allah. And wa'akhara, he said, did you listen, my companions? And the second man, wa'akhara, that the first one is doing a great action and you don't think that there's a better action than this, wa'akhara. But the second man, what is he doing? Yadhkuru Allah. He is not spending money. He cannot spend. He doesn't have any money. So what action is he doing? Wa yadhkuru Allah. He is sitting and remembering Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That's why you look at this point here, brothers. So after such a great action, such a great deed, spending in the path of Allah, the second person is sitting, he's remembering Allah, doing dhikr Allah. The first man spending his maal and wealth, and his rank status has increased to the heights, super heights. And the second man, he can't spend. Remember that person, that due to spending Allah's way, that fire of Jahannam couldn't touch him in this world and the hereafter. That story I've just told you. And the second man is doing dhikr of Allah. So Rasulullah is comparing the two now. So what's the impact for the person who's the dhakir? And the question didn't arise that somebody asked, isn't it? That the second person who's doing dhikr, we say, oh, these people, they keep doing dhikr. Where's the benefit? All they do all day long is sit in the corner doing dhikr. Allah's Nabi is saying, don't consider the dhakir insignificant. Wadhkurullah, he's doing dhikr. Who is greater from these two? Rasulullah asked, who does Allah love more from these two? Who does Allah prefer from these two? Allah's Nabi said, kana fadhkurullah after. That the person who's doing dhikr of Allah, Allah loves that person. He is afdal. He is greater. Who's doing dhikr of Allah. So great action, dhikr of Allah. Tell me, my brothers, such a big amal. Allah Ta'ala gives the example. Don't think it's a minor. Don't think it's insignificant. That generation will come, that people one day will be far from the dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi in his final days, in his final days, he was lying down in his final days and his students were around him. And he stated in that difficult time, the final time, they said that generation has come now, that people are very far from dhikr. You have to make effort on dhikr. You have to make effort, go towards the dhikr of Allah, revive the dhikr of Allah, and do so much dhikr. And Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Sahib, Ramdallah, that in his final days, dhikr had overwhelmed him, and dhikr was so much around him, that apart from dhikr of Allah, he didn't speak about anything else. Today, that same dhikr is done in the form of a majlis of durood, Medina and Makkah. I know that the teacher who does that in Karachi, India, I don't know, I've never been to India. I have not had the chance. Inshallah, we'll go with some brothers, because alhamdulillah, I do have the link with India. So this is how great is the action that Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Ramdulay, he did dhikr, the majlis of Durood Sharif, that everywhere you see these halakas and gatherings of the Durood of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith. So these are the good news, and the glad tidings are spread due to the wali's will. And today we are in that generation, such a great example, that don't think the action of dhikr of Allah is a minor. It is not. The first man is spending so much in the path of Allah, and we've heard the rewards, but the dhakir, he is greater. I've given the example that he saved from the hellfire, the person who spends in Allah's path. So what about the dhakir, where he will be freed from, and under the rewards Allah will give him time and time again. So when you sit down to do dhikr, then sit down with humility and humble, and bow your heads and think and focus on Allah, that Allah, you've given me such a tawfiq to do such a great deed that I'm not even appreciative of the fact that how great is this action, because this generation we're in, the world we're in, What happens? That when we practice something, we compare it to our inferiority complex. People say, why are you doing this action? What's the benefit of the action? Oh, what have you become today? You need to go with the flow. Look what other people are doing. And always this happens in every generation, that once a person starts to practice something good, then opposition comes into being. They try to remove that action, eliminate the action. You see, nowadays there's so much opposition to the practice of dhikr of Allah without any reason. There's no reason. You announce about dhikr and people oppose. It's a surprise that Quran and Hadith are mustanad, and they are giving us the direct guidance about dhikr of Allah. But this is the sign of judgment that people don't like nowadays, that a Jama'ah congregation of people sit down and do dhikr of Allah. They'll allow any other activity to take place in the masjid. Any other activity every day, 2 hours, 3 hours, functions, events in the masjids. Nowadays it's happening. We don't know about Ramadan, we don't have no respect about the majlis and why we're doing it. But when it comes to dhikr halaqa, majlis, their jaws drop. Dhikr, how can we allow this? What is this kalama you're reciting? This is bid'ah innovation. You're sitting like this is innovation. Why are you doing like this? Why did you say this? Any action associated with dhikr, they don't allow, they reject and they deny the permission. But Allah Ta'ala has made it so clear in the Quran. Verses of the Quran, Allah says, قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Do dhikr, standing, sitting and lying down. Whatever state you're in, do dhikr. And the pious predecessors have written on this. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah said that dhikr in every hal, doing it is one thing, but it is accepted totally by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every condition is accepted. It cannot be, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah said, that doesn't matter how you're doing dhikr, where you're doing dhikr, with wudu or without. If you want to do dhikr or you don't feel like doing it, if your heart feels you want to do dhikr or your heart doesn't want to do it, whether you're enjoying or you're not enjoying. But if you're doing dhikr, then it's accepted. And my Hazrat gave the explanation on this as well. It's accepted. Dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, I have accepted your dhikr. Until today, can you show me any ibadah which is free from riya, showing off? But Allah says, even if you do dhikr of Allah with riya, showing off, Allah says, I'll accept it. So this is the generation we're in. So don't have a small heart. My Hazrat Rahmatullahi gave me hukum, ordered me, and this was his kashf, his vision, mashallah, the wali of Allah. And he said to me, 40, 50 years ago, decades ago, he said, be careful that you streets, every place, every void, to the doors, to people's homes, to the people, individuals, go and instill and revive the love of dhikr of Allah in their hearts. People are negligent today. So revive dhikr in them, make work, hard work, explain, and you have no other function or duty rather apart from reviving the action of dhikr of Allah. And we today run away from doing dhikr. Look, we know the thawab, the reward, and we enjoy it. We know the good feeling, the positivity that emanates. Even then we run away. We oppose dhikr, oppose dhikr, oppose dhikr. Oppose, but one person, when he does dhikr, he should be elevated and his status and rank increases to the heights. We should be calm. Whichever masjid allows us, invites us to host dhikr, we should consider that masjid as rahmah, mercy, the people of rahmah, mercy, and the locality is rahmah, mercy, due to the dhikr of Allah. So just close your eyes and quietly go to that place where they host. Many days I am tired, I get ill, then I think, no, let's. I sometimes think I'm ill, I'm not going to come to the masjid to do dhikr. Today I was ill, I was unwell, and I was stopping myself, I'm dizzy, how am I going to get there? I'm so unwell. I said, no, this cannot happen. This is a minor. My Shaykh gave me a duty, so why shouldn't I go to that masjid for the majlis halaqat? I may fall unconscious, worst case, then I'll come back to consciousness. But the dhikr of Allah we have to do and reach to that place. So, if a person like me is doing this, then mashallah, you brothers are pious and regular and steadfast and deendar people. So have courage that when you hear somewhere the dhikr is taking place, then get there before me with the name of Allah and go with happiness and say, Allah, you've given us the tawfiq that we're coming to your dhikr. So let's do dua to Allah that until our final days Allah makes us dhakir and shakir. There's only one wasila, one means to success. What a great hadith, that the action that will save a person from the punishment of the grave the most is dhikr of Allah. Nothing can save us more than dhikr of Allah. Wherever we're going to go, our home, we're going to pass away, we're old, should we leave dhikr? This is the time to do dhikr. If you're old or you're unwell, should you leave dhikr? Maybe after this illness or this old age I will go into the grave. So there's no action greater than the dhikr of Allah that can save a person from the punishment of the grave. But we don't want to do dhikr, we don't want to remember Allah. No brothers, not like this. Learn dhikr, sit with the people of dhikr, ahl of dhikr, and bring dhikr into your heart and do it, and morning and evening give it time and sit down regularly, do the dhikr of Allah. Never think that, oh, there's no benefit for dhikr to me, I can't feel anything, is it been accepted? Allah Ta'ala says that I have sat you down, you carry on doing dhikr and I will accept dhikr. I will accept it. So don't worry about the acceptance. You close your eyes, do dhikr, whether your heart feels like it or not, do it. If you have wudu or not, keep on doing dhikr. That's it. But in your hand should be the tasbih, and with that tasbih, do the dhikr of Allah. Be busy in the remembrance of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.